Today's reading comes from John chapter 6, verses 22 to 59. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do, that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, "I am the bread that comes down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they will all be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that comes down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum.
Lord Jesus, you tell us that you are the bread of life. And so this morning we ask, as we come to you in our hunger, please would you feed us. What we know not, please would you teach us. What we have not, please would you give us. And what we are not, please would you make us. For your glory, because of your Son, and in the power of your Spirit, we ask this. In Jesus' name, amen. I've been told there are over 200 different types of German bread. Our dog has sampled many of them. It's amazing what you find left on the streets. Vollkorn or Roggenbrot, Bretzel. His latest sample was some pizza that was left on the kitchen table last night. I should say we do try and feed him normal dog food. He just has a very strong will. I can tell you that he prefers the budget Chareva bread pizza to a nice gourmet sourdough. Bread is good for us. We need food to live. I wonder if you've heard of the survival of the threes. You can survive for 3 minutes without breathing, give or take. You can survive for 3 hours in extreme cold or extreme heat. You can survive for 3 days without water. You can live for 3 weeks without food. But ultimately, if we don't eat, we die. Jesus says 3 times in this conversation that we've just had read. Verse 41, I am the bread that came down from heaven. Verse 47, 48 even, I am the bread of life. Verse 51, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Excuse me. It's a very simple message from Jesus this morning. I've come down from heaven to give you life. If you respond to me, if you believe in me, if you come to me, if you feed on me, you will have life. Just as we need physical food, just as we need bread to live, we need the food that heaven gives for eternal life. We need Jesus for life. Our passage comes after that great miracle that we looked at last week. Jesus feeds thousands of people with 5 little loaves and 2 fish. And the next day, we're on the other side of the lake. The people have woken up and they are hungry. They go searching for Jesus. I imagine we all woke up with a bit of hunger this morning. Many of us would have eaten bread for breakfast. I'm afraid we're still clinging on to our English tradition and going for cereal. I do love a bread sandwich at lunchtime, and if I'm not careful, I'll end up in Germany eating bread 3 times a day. The people are looking for Jesus. They are hungry for more of what he has given them already. The problem is, they've missed the point of that miracle that they saw last week. Well, that we saw last week, they saw yesterday. They've come to Jesus, but they think he is leading somewhere else. They come to Jesus for food, but Jesus refuses to feed them. Instead, he exposes their hearts. On our way home from holiday, we were driving through one of the tunnels that goes under Munich. For some reason, the Autobahn doesn't go around, but goes under. And our sat-nav decided at that point to cut out, just as we're trying to find out which turning to go off. I was looking for the signs. I knew it was coming up. But at the moment we needed to turn off, at the moment the sign came up, a lorry came past and blocked the sign. So I only saw part of it. missed where it was pointing, and so I missed my turning. The people following Jesus have seen parts of the sign, but not all of it. They've seen something of it, but they miss it. They miss what the sign really says. They come to Jesus for food, but Jesus says to them as they arrive in verse 26, have a look down. If you've got a Bible, do open it again. John 6, we're on page 1075 of our black Bibles. Jesus says, John 6, verse 26, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. They aren't following the sign, they're following their bellies. We saw last week that that led them to want to make Jesus their king. They've seen that he can meet their physical needs, and they think they'll meet their material agenda, like a genie who gives me what I want. They've not read the sign properly. They're looking for the Christ. They're looking for a king. They're looking for a rescuer who will lead them into new life. But they think they need a very different sort of rescue to the one that he gives them. They think, here is a man from God. He's got something important to tell us about our hunger. Here is a man who can tell us about how we get to God. Here's a man who can tell us about religion. Jesus has just said, labor for food that endures. But they haven't realized they've just been given that food. So they ask in verse 28, what must we do to be doing the works of God? Their minds instantly go to the things that they can do. They talk about religious works. What must we do? Every religion that has gone beforehand. We were in Wittenberg last week, where Martin Luther is from, the birthplace of the Reformation. And Luther railed against the Catholic act of penance. The works that you have to do to top up your credit balance to get yourself into heaven. The Vatican still today issues indulgences to speed you through that process to those who perform certain rites. What must we do to get eternal life? Asks the crowd. It's easy to point the finger and think of other people that do it, but we do it too, don't we? I've got to have a quiet time every day this week because I know that God won't be pleased with me otherwise. Or I've messed up, so I've got to give some money to church or help so-and-so or even go to church. What must we do to be doing the works of God? They've misread the sign. But not just that miracle that Jesus has done, they've misread what God has said and done in the past. You might say their vision is blurry. They need new glasses. They need light to shine into the darkness. They need the Lord to open their eyes. Look down at verse 30. They ask Jesus to do another sign to prove to them that they should listen to him. What sign do you do that we may see and believe? What work do you do? Jesus has already done loads of signs. He's already turned water into wine. He's healed a boy who's on the point of death and brought him into life. He's healed a poor man who has been paralyzed for 38 years. Get up and take your mat and walk. And he does it. He's miraculously fed thousands of people. As if another sign is really going to make them listen. Now, the truth is, they won't listen because they want Jesus to fit into their idea of who he should be. They want him to meet their felt needs. We're hungry, so feed us, and then we'll listen to you. We're oppressed, so deliver us from the Romans. Be our rescuer, and we'll follow you. Too often our focus is on the material. We are concerned with the things that we think we need. Our status in the world, with power, health, wealth, comfort. So easy to focus on the things that we think we need and not on what Jesus tells us we need. Easy to focus on my agenda and not his. And because we find it so hard to listen to his agenda, we find reasons to not listen to him. Verse 31, the people say, well, look at Moses. Look what Moses did. He gave bread from heaven to eat. It's talking back to a time in the Old Testament, thousands of years beforehand. Exodus 16, you can read about it there. God has rescued his people from slavery in Egypt. He has brought them through the Red Sea. The waters have parted. He's kept them safe. He's delivered them from their enemies. And then they start to grumble. They begin to say, we were better off as slaves in Egypt. We had food to eat. We had jobs to do. We're going to starve here in the desert. And so God gives them this stuff called manna. Manna, it literally means, what is it? We don't know. It is bread from heaven each day, falling on the ground like the morning dew. And each day they'd go and collect it up. Each day for 40 years. But that entire generation missed the sign. They didn't recognize God's wonderful provision. They didn't recognize they were dependent on God for life and breath and everything they have. They didn't realize that he alone is the Lord and the giver of life. They wanted God to fit their agenda, so they hardened their hearts and they refused to listen to him. And now we see John 6, just like their ancestors, the crowd in front of Jesus didn't see Jesus doing the work of God. They couldn't see him feeding his people, giving life. They misread the sign. And as we come to John, we know that's not really a surprise, is it? We read right at the beginning that his people would reject him. Of course they did. Jesus knew that they would. Remember, he knows what was in a person's heart. He knows what we're like. In fact, this whole episode is a test. Flip back to John 6, verse 6. Jesus asks Philip a question in order to test him. Just as in Exodus 16, verse 4, God tells Moses he's going to test his people. I'm about to rain down bread from heaven that I may test my people, whether they will walk in my law or not. And of course they couldn't. God knew they wouldn't. God knew they couldn't. Their faithlessness is even built into the law. You won't keep this, but one day I will gather you. Once I've judged you and scattered you far and wide, I will bring you back. It was to test them, to show them that they needed Jesus. To show them the only way to eternal life and that restored relationship with the God who made them would be through a work of God. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. They misread the sign. The point of the sign was to show eternal life is a gift. Not a work. It is a gift, not a work. Feeding the 5,000 people was a remarkable miracle. But actually, it is nothing compared to the way that God day by day feeds the whole world. The one who makes grain from the seeds of the, from a few seeds spread across the whole earth. We are only here today because God has given us life and breath and everything we have. We eat bread in order to live. Our bodies tell us we need it to keep living. It literally hurts when we haven't had enough to eat. If we stop eating, we eventually die. But the food that we eat perishes. It doesn't last. Look down again at verse 27. Jesus says, "Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you." Jesus says the food we eat is a tiny picture, a little glimpse of God's amazing life-giving work. He hasn't come to meet their physical needs. He already does that. Day by day, moment by moment. He has come to do a far greater work. A work that lasts forever. The work of giving eternal life. Of moving people from death to life. From judgment to life and peace and love with the God who made them. That is the food he tells people to labor for, to pursue, to hunger after, to look at, to come to. But it is a gift. The Son of Man will give to you. What does it look like to labor for it? Look down at verse 29. Jesus says, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." That's it. Believe. Just believe. The bread of life is gift, not work. Now, verse 27, this bread the Son of Man gives to you. Verse 32, my Father gives you true bread from heaven. Verse 33, the bread that comes down from heaven gives life to the world. Can't earn life. You've got to receive it. And we know that from the moment we're born. We see that in everyday life around us. It is exactly the same way with the gospel. Can't earn eternal life. We've got to be given it. Got to receive it from outside of ourselves. God doesn't require you to do anything for him. He doesn't need anything from you. It is a gift. We say that there is no such thing as a free lunch, a free meal. Before I was a pastor, I was a banker. Forgive me, it was a byword for a while. I used to take clients out for lunch, and we would go to some nice restaurants in central London. It was good. We didn't need to worry about the price and the menu. We'd order what we wanted, and I'd tell my clients to not worry because the company would pay. It was a free lunch for me and a free lunch for them. But it wasn't really, because it was all about winning new business. And if the client didn't give me business, I wouldn't take them out for lunch. And if I stopped generating business, my employer would stop paying for me to go out for lunch and would probably stop paying me altogether. But here, bread of heaven, bread of life, is a truly free meal. That is the point of the sign. He gives the bread of life. It is free food. It is food that sustains. It is life-giving food. You can't make it. There's no money you can pay to buy it. You can't get it from anywhere else. Grace is a free gift. Something we can never, ever earn. We contribute nothing to it, and we all need it. The bread of life is gift. not work. That is what the sign was all about. That the Son is a gift from God the Father to the world that he loves. We have a birthday coming up in the Haynes household, and there's been lots of talk about presents, starting to think about the best gifts we can buy. But what gift could ever compare to this gift? The bread of life that comes down from heaven. What a gift it is. Have a look at verse 35. Larry took us to this earlier. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Or verse 47. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life, life in all its fullness, a restored and a renewed life of joy, of peace, eternal blessings at God's right hand. So much of life is about clinging on to life, isn't it? We go to the gym. Some of us do. We have a health check when we hit a certain age. There's anti-aging cream, there's hair dye, there's makeup to hide imperfections. With Jesus, even the sorrow of death is undone. Verse 40, this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Verse 44, I will raise him up on the last day. What a gift. Verse 37, all that the Father gives to me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. Gift of assurance. If you're a wobbly Christian, if you stuff up over and over again, Jesus says to you, come to me, and I will never cast you away. Whatever you have done, there is always an open door for you. Wonderful assurance. That is God's will, that Jesus would never lose any one of those whom the Father has given to him. No matter how far you might run, no matter what guilt you might feel, this is bread we could never earn. And bread that lasts to eternal life, on and on and on and on. The most wonderful gift. But even then, we don't like it. The people have just heard Jesus say these words for the very first time. And how do they respond? Verse 41, the Jews grumbled about him. Verse 52, the Jews argue amongst themselves. They've seen the sign, they've heard the explanation, they've seen the life on offer, and this is how they respond. Briefly, they have two big objections. Objection 1, verses 41 to 51. The scandal of the incarnation. Have a look at verse 42. They say, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he say, I have come down from heaven? It's a scandal to them. They couldn't and they wouldn't understand or believe that he had come down from heaven. They refused to see how great their predicament is, that they needed someone, they needed God himself to come to earth to rescue them. That is just how far they had fallen. The bread that Moses provided wasn't enough. Their works could never atone. You see, our problem is so great, we just cannot fix it on our own. Like the lame man whose legs don't work. Nothing he can do to make them run again. But a word from Jesus, and he is made new. Like a blind person who can't make their own eyes see, like a corpse who cannot give life to their dead body. We can't contribute to it. We can't earn it. It is a gift, not something we do. We need God to come down and give us the life that we need, and only God can do it. And he does it. The second objection is there in 52 to 59, the scandal of the cross. Have a look at verse 53. Jesus says over the page, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." This isn't about communion. This is way before the Last Supper. This isn't another work that you and I have to do. Jesus has been very clear about that. This is about Jesus dying in my place and your place. Jesus gives his flesh and his blood that you and I can live. His body given for you on the cross. His blood poured out for you, spilled on the ground as he died. His death was a wrath-satisfying, sin-bearing, substitutionary sacrifice for your sin and my sin. He gave up his life that our sin might be dealt with, that you and I might be forgiven. At the cross, Jesus takes my sin on his shoulders. He dies in my place. He takes the judgment of God upon himself so that when I stand before him on that last day, I can say my sin, not in part, but the whole, has been taken away and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. The penalty has been paid. I've been washed clean. It is about being united with Jesus in his death and in his resurrection. Verse 57, "As the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me." And they didn't like it. They disputed amongst themselves, "How can he give us his flesh to eat?" They don't understand it. They don't want to because they have a different agenda to Jesus. They want Jesus to feed them what they want. They want him to be the Savior and the King that they want him to be, because this is deeply, deeply offensive to you and me. Because it tells me that I am a hopeless sinner that can do nothing, then I need God to come all the way down from heaven to earth to give me life. We just receive. We do nothing. I can't do anything. I can't even cry out empty-handed for faith to believe. It is so offensive that Jesus says the only way anyone comes to him is if the Father who sent me draws him. There was an Australian evangelist called John Chapman, and he was speaking with a student one day. He just told him about Jesus. They'd been talking about Jesus and the need to repent and believe in him as the only way to find life. And he said to this young person that this is something you can't do on your own. You need Jesus to draw you to him. And this young man just found that horrifically offensive. How on earth can you say that? I am free to make my choice. And Chapo just said, "Okay, prove me wrong. Become a Christian. Believe." And this young man sat there, arms folded. "I don't want to." To which Chapo says, "That is the point. Unless the Father draws you to Jesus, you will never want to." We need a miracle. We need the Father to draw us to Jesus. We need the most incredible gift the world has ever known. As we think about our friends or reaching this city with the good news of Jesus, with this great gift of eternal life, what is it that will save them and convince them? A new course. Signs and wonders, that maybe the words that you say or the life that you live. No. God uses those things, but they're just signs, aren't they? Just pointers. The only way we will see lives transformed and changed and renewed and restored is by the powerful drawing of our Heavenly Father. Only a work of grace. Doesn't that make us want to pray? Should we commit to praying for our city, praying for our friends, praying for those we know? Join us first Wednesday every month in here, 7:30, to pray. If we've come to Jesus, if we are believing in him this morning, we should have full assurance. Because your salvation begins and ends with Jesus Christ. God himself, the Father, is one who draws you, he keeps you, Jesus does it all for you, all we do is receive. Nothing you do can change that, no sin you commit, no depth to which you can fall. We've just sung, that soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never forsake. All that the Father gives me, says Jesus, will come to me. And whoever comes and believes, whoever looks to, whoever feeds on Jesus, I will never cast out. If you come to Jesus, you are safe in his arms. It should lead us to an overwhelming sense of thankfulness. For all he is, for all he has done. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Let's pray. Father, we ask today that you would help us to feed on Jesus, the precious bread of life. Amen.